You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
So it is time for the Hobby Zone, and sitting in the studio with me is Kathy Fish. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Judy.
lovely to have you. I think you're going to have to sit a bit closer to your mic. So today we're talking pottery on the Hobby Zone, and I believe it's an absolute passion of yours. But first, let's explain why I played house at Pooh Corner.
Because that's the name of our beautiful property in Nortuk.
Uh-huh.
And we bought it many years ago, 30 years ago, last month.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a forest, and it was on the corner. And we were looking for, you know, what should we call it?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard Kenny Loggins' song, and it just made sense.
It's a beautiful name for a house, it really is. And I see it as you're turning in towards Cafe Rue. It's right on the corner there, isn't it?
That's the one. And it's a guest house, so we get a lot of British guests, as you can imagine.
Oh, I can imagine, yes. Oh, that's an awesome name for a guest house. Anyway, we're not going to talk about your house today. We're talking about your is it a hobby for you or is it a career for you? Pottery.
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
It started out as a hobby many, many years ago, about 36.
Wow.
And I used to go for lessons, and then my teacher stopped teaching, mm-hmm. and I phoned a friend and I said, come on, let's play around in the garage together.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we park our cars outside and we have a beautiful pottery studio.
As all garages should be. They should
exactly.
be hobbies. That's amazing. Now, if people have never tried pottery, I mean, I've done it before, so I know what I'm talking about. It's if you love getting your hands dirty and playing in mud, you're going to love pottery, aren't you?
You are. You yeah. are. You. A lot of people think they're not artistic, so they can't do it,
mm-hmm.
Which is nonsense. Anybody can do pottery. It's a beautiful medium.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my dear friends does pots with us, and she's tactile defensive.
Okay.
So every now and again, she has to rush and wash her hands. But she makes beautiful pieces.
Okay. And you don't, I mean, when people think pottery, they think you have to work on the wheel. A lot of it is handwork as well, isn't it?
Definitely. I'm a hand builder,
mm-hmm.
And you get people that work on the wheel, and that's kind of what they love,
mm-hmm.
and that's their predominant way of working on the wheel. My predominant way is hand building, and
I teach
hand building, and I love it because, to me, there is more that you can do. There's
mm-hmm.
all sorts of things from pinching to slabbing to
mm-hmm.
coiling.
Mm-hmm.
You can make round things as well.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, it's very versatile.
But, I mean, you've got to have a good eye if you're going to make something round by hand, don't you?
You do have to have a good eye, but you train it.
Mm.
And,
it comes. Now, if you wanted to start this as a hobby, if people are listening to us and thinking, oh, I'd like to try it, it's quite expensive to start, isn't it? Or can you start quite cheaply?
It's not that expensive.
Okay.
Usually the difficult thing is how and where to get your pieces fired.
Mm-hmm.
Clay is not that expensive.
Okay.
It's about 130 rand for 10 kilograms.
Wow, that's cheap.
You can build quite a lot with 10 kilograms. The main thing is actually getting down to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was so lucky with this very special friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
who right from the word said yes. And that was how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm surrounded with wonderful ladies, and I teach, and it's fantastic.
So you're teaching pottery as well?
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you want to try, then Kathy does lessons as well. And how often do you do those lessons?
Twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yeah, Thursday and Friday mornings.
Have you got any slots open?
No.
So I can't tell people about you.
No, please don't.
Do you want to start another day? All right, so basically, so you need your clay, and then from what I remember, the kneading of it is quite important. They call it kneading, don't they?
They call it wedging.
Wedging, there
yes,
we go. You see,
yes.
I'm thinking of making bread now.
So with bread, you put air into the bread,
mm-hmm.
which helps the bread. With clay, you wedge air out of the clay.
Okay.
Because air in the clay is a disaster in the kiln.
Yes.
It will make things crack and explode.
Mm.
You have must have no air in your clay.
And do you have to fire every piece? So it has to be sort of
You do. You get air-dry clay, but if you're going to make functional pieces, you need to fire them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how long-lasting are they? I mean, if they're fired properly, I'm sure they can last for quite a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you generally have two firings. Your one is your bisque firing or your biscuit firing.
Yes.
And that's to about 1,000 degrees.
Sure.
And then after that, you put on your glazes and your colors, and that goes to 1,200 and up.
Wow.
And everything you buy in the shops has been fired like that. If you get some really beautiful ceramics and beautiful porcelain, fine bone china, that's been fired really high. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's usually very durable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas your terracotta pots that you get for your outside planting,
after
a few years, they start flaking and they're beautiful, but that's been fired low.
Okay.
And that's why. So the higher you fire, the more durable your piece.
Okay. Yeah. And you, as you say, you have to find someone with an oven because they are expensive, aren't they, those ovens?
Kilns are expensive.
You see, I'm getting my names wrong. I knew it was a kiln.
Everybody does that. they can be, but you can also pick them up secondhand. I think with load shedding, a lot of people got out of the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually pick kilns up cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a logistic nightmare if you are single phase like we are, and you've got a three phase kiln.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not that expensive either, funnily enough. But but you have to fill that kiln.
Yes.
I fill it to the brim.
Okay.
So no spots open.
Okay. Why is that? Is it because it will cause problems if you fire with too little in it?
No, but when you're firing for 12 to 15 hours.
Oh, really? Is it as long as that?
You want to have a full kiln, and you want to make the electricity.
Work for
cost
you.
Of electricity.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So do you only get electric kilns?
No. You get gas kilns, and then you get wood-fired kilns, which are very exciting.
Hmm.
But you can imagine it's just wood that gets that temperature to that.
Is it a closed kiln with the wood-fired one?
It's a closed kiln, and it has a firebox, and you put wood in the one side, and you literally get up to 1,200, 300 degrees just with wood.
But you've got to know what you're doing.
To know what you're doing. Yeah. Not many people have them. Mm-hmm. There is one in Nurtuk.
At Pooh Corner, perhaps?
No.
Okay.
It's a very special event to go to because it takes all day to get to temperature.
Yes.
And then you also have raku kilns, which are little, and they're fired very fast. It's about... Some people make raku kilns in the drum of a washing machine.
Really?
That kind of size.
Okay, yeah.
You just have to have a firebox that gets really, really hot very fast with a gas flame.
Mm-hmm.
Takes about half an hour.
Okay.
And gets it up to temperature. So.
Oh, wow.
And then you can also fire in a pit, a hole in the ground.
Sure. Okay, so you've got the place and the property. You can actually you can play around, but I mean, you really have to know what you're doing. So you need to do a little bit of studying before you start trying to fire anything.
A bit of trial and error. Yeah.
Is that how you started?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Really? Just trial and error?
Trial and error. I made lots of mistakes.
But one can make many mistakes in pottery. It can be quite frustrating. From what I remember, I tried the wheel once, and I was going so beautifully. I was thinking, I've got this, and then suddenly the whole thing collapsed.
You have to be a special kind of person to just push on. And then
because once it's fallen down, that's it.
That's it. Get your next piece of clay and try again.
Yeah. But and you can't do anything with that clay again, or can
no,
you?
No, you can. Can you? You can recycle clay constantly.
Okay.
It just hydrates again, and you wedge it up to beautiful clay, and never throw anything away.
Okay. But it's important to keep your clay wet, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So do you have to sort of store it in a special plastic container or anything like that? No.
Just plastic bags.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And water?
No.
Not even?
No. So the clay that you buy from the clay suppliers comes in plastic. You just keep it in plastic. If for some reason you've had it for years and years and years and it's rock hard, you smash it up with a hammer, put it in a bucket with water.
Okay.
Take the excess water off, and then you've got a big sloppy mess, and then you've got to dry that again into a pliable, workable clay.
Yes, and how long would that take? Quite a while.
Exactly.
How long is a piece of string?
Exactly.
So let's talk about raku, because not many people know about raku. I know it's a very specialized way of firing, and you end up with a very different piece, don't you?
It's a very exciting way of firing. Mm-hmm. So the traditional raku that everybody thinks of when they think of raku is your piece that would have a little crackle with the black line showing. That's your traditional raku piece.
Okay.
And that is created with a glaze that is made to crack.
Okay.
So you put your piece with this glaze on in the raku kiln. You fire up to about just over 1,000 degrees, 1,100. And then you take this piece out of the kiln with tongs and you put it into a bed of sawdust.
Okay.
And you cover it in sawdust. Of course, it bursts into flame. Mm-hmm. You just cover it in sawdust and then it smolders. And the black smoke from the sawdust goes through the crack and colors the clay body black.
Okay.
And that's why you've got the little black line.
And how many smashed up pieces do you end up with?
if you build carefully and you don't have your pieces too thick.
So it's got to be a thin piece.
Absolutely. Thick pieces of clay are always scary in a kiln. Okay. Or very varying differences of, you know, if you have a thin piece going to a thick section.
Okay.
That's always tension in the clay.
Yes.
But yeah, it's very exciting, very hot, and yeah, wonderful. Very stinky.
It was very popular when I was doing pottery, and I'm going back, probably 40 years.
Wonderful.
So that was when I did pottery, 40 years ago about, and it was very popular then. You don't hear too much about raku anymore, do you?
I think you do in the pottery circles. Mm-hmm. It went back a lot more than 40 years. It's quite an ancient art.
Yes.
And ceramics is it has its it goes through its popular and its non-popular phases. Mm-hmm. I'm quite passionate about seeing ceramics as art and not just functional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Folks, she's brought in a couple of the pots that you've made, I'm assuming, and we're actually going to photograph them and put them on our Facebook page afterwards with Kathy, so you all get to see what she looks like as well as her beautiful pieces that she's brought in, and then you'll get an idea of what you can make. She's made some lovely stuff here. Okay. So what made you choose pottery? I mean, how did this passion start?
I am a creative person. I was a graphic designer for many, many years.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just thought, oh, I want to try this. Mm-hmm. And
what about it appealed to you?
I love creating anything.
Okay.
Whether it is knitting something or drawing something or making something in the garden, I just love creating. Mm-hmm. And the thought of being able to build something out of clay is very exciting.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And your pieces, are they mainly decorative or do you have functional pieces as well?
Both. Decorative and functional.
So if I came for dinner at your place, no hinting here.
Oops.
Would I be served with Kathy Fish original plate?
Oops, no. Check the specials.
Oh, no, Kathy.
It's on the list. It's on the list.
Okay. So what sort of things do you love to make?
I actually am busy with a little porcelain business with two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend quite a lot of time making beautiful porcelain pieces.
Okay.
And I'm loving that challenge. Mm-hmm. We've just made a couple of chandeliers, which is something we've wanted to do for forever. And one of the ladies in the pottery classes beat me to it last year.
Really?
And
okay.
she made a beautiful chandelier. And I just thought, I looked at it and I said, well, come on. You've made a magnificent piece. I'm going to push through and make ours.
Yeah.
And it was really lovely. And I'm quite, every now and again, I sort of have to say, not stop teaching and just make a piece.
Mm.
Because otherwise I can just get lost in producing for the business and in teaching and not actually enjoying it for myself.
And then you lose your passion eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. Now, when one thinks of porcelain, one thinks of white and quite decorative. Can you actually color porcelain or should it be white?
You can color porcelain. Mm-hmm. One would almost think why.
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
It is so beautiful and it is, you can make it so thin and it is a translucent clay when it is fired to the right temperature. It's absolutely beautiful.
And that's a different type of clay that you buy, isn't it?
Yes, it's there are many types of clay. Mm-hmm. It's a stoneware clay and it goes to high temperatures.
Okay.
But it's just white and it's gorgeous.
And it's see-through.
It can be when you take it to 220, yes.
Okay.
And it's thin.
Yes. And it smashes easily if you drop it.
Yeah, absolutely. They all do. That is a problem.
So if someone was wanting to start this, what would you recommend? If they wanted to just take up pottery as a hobby, where could they go and get supplies? Where could they get some, seems your classes are full, where could they get some ideas from and so on?
There are quite a few people that teach in the valley
and
just outside the valley. I've got some ladies that just got so excited about it that they've gone and bought their own wheel. They're working in their own garage.
Okay.
There are two main suppliers of clay in the southern suburbs.
Okay.
So that's exciting, and you can get different clays from them and tools and all sorts of things. I don't know if you want me to give names.
Yes, you can. I mean, I'm sure if people, otherwise they've got to go and Google.
Exactly. Cape Pottery Supplies.
Are they still in Cork Bay?
No. That shop, I think, has closed down, the potter shop.
Yes.
Cape Pottery Supplies is very close to Spotty Dog, Builder's Warehouse.
Oh, okay. In Jakarta there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Reinders Clay is also quite special. He will also deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are your main suppliers,
mm-hmm.
and you can just about get anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to start, I often say to my ladies, it doesn't matter if it goes all squonk. It's clay. Just try again.
Try again, yeah.
Try again. And if it cracks, try again. So often it's the process in a hobby that is what is special, what makes you happy.
Mm.
We joke and say it's the cheapest therapy in the whole world.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's like playing in mud. It's wonderful.
Exactly, exactly. And if it doesn't work the first time, try again.
Uh-huh.
The idea is not to make a dinner service as fast as possible and to make as many pots. You might as well just go and buy them.
Mm.
They are much cheaper than making them.
And when I started, we all had to start with coiling. Is that the way to start? Is that the best way to start?
It is a good way. There are various methods of building. I always start with pinch pots, funny enough.
Oh, okay.
I love pinch pots. I didn't bring one today, but it's just such a lovely, easy way of forming a bit of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Coiling is the way you would make beautiful big pieces if you're a hand builder.
Mm-hmm.
And you can coil huge, what you would expect to see on a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Slab work is very exciting, and you can make big pieces with slab work.
Okay. Is that literally using slabs of clay and building them up?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you could, if your slabs are not too hard, you can make curved pieces. Mm-hmm. If they are what's called leather hard, so they're not dry, but they are firm.
Mm-hmm.
You can make most beautiful shapes.
Okay.
And then slumping is literally taking a wet slab of clay and putting it into a mold.
Oh, okay.
Sort of like a bowl or and you can create beautiful, beautiful shapes that way too.
Yes, and then you can decorate them beautifully afterwards when once they're fired.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And then there's the whole sculptural side of ceramics, which is fantastic. And that's just playing with clay.
That's very difficult. I mean, for someone who is artistic, it's a great way to express yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is. And for those who are not particularly artistic, so they can't, you know, they feel they can't draw that, it's a medium that you can still work with. If you've got some sort of an idea of form and shape, you can do it. Mm. And with practice, anybody can make a pot.
Yeah. And I'm guessing copying is allowed. I mean, if you look at a piece and you...
What would we do without Pinterest?
Exactly. But I mean, yeah, I always thought when I started drawing and stuff that you had to be original. But nobody, I mean, my art teacher said to me, how do you expect to know how to draw the ocean unless you've actually seen it?
Exactly. Your art teacher, I think, is very wise. Yes. All artists copy. We all copy. Mm. You have to copy.
Yeah.
That's how, exactly, the ocean. So everybody copies.
Yes, so you take inspiration from something else.
Exactly.
It won't look exactly the same unless you actually trying to make it look the same.
A forgery. Yeah, who wants to spend time doing that?
No, no fun in that.
Exactly, yeah.
So you've been doing this for over 30 years now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And never stopping, I'm guessing.
Never stopping. I'm already trying to think where, if I'm, you know, in a little retirement home somewhere, how will I do it?
Well, I guess your car will always live outside, Kathy.
I think so. I've got a very wonderful husband because he's never had a garage.
Well, to be honest with you, I've never had a garage because the bike and the woodwork tools always took preference over the car. So, I think it's time for revenge. But I don't have a garage anymore. What other tips can you give to anybody wanting to start out? Because we're almost out of time. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Again, find a friend and just have fun together. We did that for many, many, many years before we got all serious about a business and teaching. And it was just really, really, really lovely. Try all sorts of things.
And just have fun.
Have fun. Mm. It's therapy.
That's what hobbies are about. They're about having fun,
exactly,
aren't they?
Yeah. And when you start, it takes everybody by storm, and you always want to make as many things as possible in as fast a time as possible. Just relax and enjoy the process.
Take your time, because with pottery, you can't rush it.
Exactly.
It's got a mind of its own that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can either have 10 really mediocre pinch pots or one magnificent piece, which you will treasure.
And then once you've done it and it's fired, then you can have a wonderful time painting it with different glazes and things as well, can't you?
Exactly. Oh. It's always a bit nerve-wracking. I have a few pieces that some ladies have made, and they're still on the shelves.
Oh, really?
Because they're terrified to take the step further.
Oh. Tell them to have fun, Kathy.
Exactly.
And if you're starting, you can get your clay. You can really start on your own. And you say there are places you can go to if you can't afford to go and buy a kiln.
Yes.
You can go and get it fired elsewhere.
Yes, you can either find a friendly potter that has a kiln, or you can go back to Cape Pottery Supplies. They will fire for you.
Oh, do they fire for you?
They will fire, yes.
Okay, but then you obviously have to wait until their kiln is full.
Exactly, and they have a charge per piece, obviously, but it's not exorbitant, and it is very possible.
Okay, so it's a very doable hobby, and it's not going to cost an arm and a leg.
Exactly.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you. It was fun.
It was lovely chatting to you. And I'm going to play out with a South African number. It's done by a lady who grew up in this area. Her name is Annecy, and it's called Hot Mess, because you can end up with a hot mess, but you must have fun while you're making that hot mess. Thank you so much for your time, Kathy. Really appreciate you coming
in. Pleasure, Judy.